AM 570 LA Sports.
I want to hear it, man. I'm desperate to hear it.
This is the Petros and Money Show.
Best case scenario.
Mad Money Smith.
Worst case scenario.
Petros Papadakis.
What am I doing here? I'm humiliated.
Available on the iHeartRadio app.
Now online at am570lasports.com.
This is Petros and Money.
Every damn night.
Doyers.
Dumbass!
Hey everybody, this is John Mayer.
Hi, this is Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Hello, Jen.
I'm smart!
He's a good kicker, but he's an idiot.
Huh?
Take care, honey.
If a person can build a fence around himself, he is bound to do it.
Talking about Vic Petros and Money, AM 570 LA Sports, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. We would appreciate it if you download the app. It is the number one podcast platform. You can listen to Petros and Money and anything you missed via podcast.
We're all day, baby.
All day, every day.
Globally on the iHeartRadio app, you can have us. And you'll have UCLA tonight after a full show on AM 570. UCLA taking on ASU. Tip off at 7:30 on AM 570 LA Sports. And we are your home of the World Series champion Dodgers. Don't forget that they won. Don't forget that 88 is 88 and out the gate.
There is joy in Mudville.
Tears of joy.
Let them flow.
You can catch off-season Dodgers talk every Monday night. Play it, Cates. Why don't you put your freaking hand on your sack and play it? Just because you don't like somebody else getting shine because you're a Dodger broadcaster. Every Monday night, another Dodger broadcaster takes to the air. David Vasse, Monday night at 7, leading up to spring training. Tears of joy.
Let them flow.
Remember, you'll be able to listen to every Dodger game right here on AM 570 LA Sports.
Call strike 3. The Dodgers win. Finally, the wait is over. The Dodgers are the champions of 2020. In a year like no other, where joy has been so hard to come by. Tonight, tears of joy.
Let them flow.
Tonight, there is joy in Mudville. The curse of 88 is
88 and out the gate.
There we go.
I like doing that. Okay, so here's what we got going on. In the next segment, Matt's going to do Three Things Thursday. He will prepare you for the Rams versus the Seahawks, including next generation stats from the NFL Network, which is also Matt's employer. So stay tuned for that. But right now, as promised, we have the Wednesday night film fight on a Thursday. On a Thursday.
With Petros
and Money.
It's
a longer show.
It's the Wednesday night film fight.
Sorry. I love that movie.
Okay, well, we had a great guest on for the second time. We had Martin Cove, a fine character actor spanning decades in American television and cinema. Very popular in Cobra Kai 3, which is on Netflix right now, getting a lot of downloads and views or whatever you call them. We know him, of course, as the same character, John Kreese in Karate Kid, Part 1, Part 2. Part 3, didn't make it with Swank, but that's okay. We love Martin Cove, and he joined the show earlier. We had a great stream of consciousness conversation, as we're apt to do with actors over the years. And what we decided to do was pick out two Martin Cove movies to battle against each other. Not Karate Kids. Or Rambo, because we just did that for Vietnam Christmas. And Matt knows a movie. He knew it in the interview, and Martin Cove called us dark for it.
He was correct in his assessment.
Called Death Race 2000.
1975, Roger Corman. I'm going to go through the list of films real quick that Roger had going when he made Death Race 2000. He had Black Mama, White Mama, Women in Cages, Candy Stripe Nurses, Young Nurses, Private Duty Nurses were some of the films that he was making at the time that he produced.
Pumping them out.
Death Race 2000. But Corman, remember, this is the man that gave Scorsese, Francis Ford Coppola, Sly Stallone, Peter Fonda, a lot of dudes their first ever break in film. So he's the guy behind what I guess you would describe as a dystopian American future following a complete and total world crash. The president's this weird dude that shows up on like these television screens.
Kind of like Escape from LA sort of deal.
I think all of those films were
Mad
birthed
Max.
From this. This gave birth to all of those films and all of the Cannonball runs. This was before all of them. Predated Hunger Games,
what
Running
year?
Man. 1975. All David right. Carradine. Supposed to be Peter Fonda in the lead, but they got Carradine instead.
Good
Sly
enough.
Stallone and Martin Cove.
Wow. Well, a Marty Cove movie suggested to us was the 77 Western The White Buffalo, which is starring our hero Martin Cove from Cobra Kai, but really mostly starring Charles Bronson, Kim Novak, adapted from a Richard Sale novel. Eric Lawrence, our cultured friend from KCRW, suggested
super cultured.
This movie on Twitter, and we acquiesced. What else could we do? In The White Buffalo, I'm happy to report that there is a giant white buffalo.
Okay.
And a lot like Jaws, kind of hanging around, screwing up people, and then the big confrontation, and you see the whole buffalo at the end. Early in the movie, the buffalo rolls through a Sioux camp where basically wrecks shop, killing dozens of Braves. I mean, just death. Kills a Crazy Horse's daughter, kills a baby. And Crazy Horse gets hot.
I bet.
Very hot. And goes after the Buffalo Blanco. And then you got Chuck Bronson headed west as Wild Bill Hickok, who's having these nightmares about a buffalo roaming the snow in Cheyenne.
Sounds pretty heady.
And he's shooting up at the ceiling. And they come together as white man and red man to hunt.
The white buffalo.
That's right.
How about that?
You're my brother. What do you got, Matt?
First clip. This is the introduction. So every year they do this race. The United States demands it. It pacifies the population. They call it the Transcontinental Road Race.
Oh, that's a little bit of the purge going here.
Exactly
right.
Yeah,
a little bit of Hunger Games.
We'll get to that in a minute. Let's meet the contestants, and I'll just tell you, these are two of the five teams. We've got Calamity Jane with a Western theme. We've got a Nazi with a German Nazi theme. And then we have Frankenstein, who's Carradine, who's like the hero of the people. He's been blown to bits in nine different ways. He's got half a face, a robotic arm, all this sort of stuff. And then these are the two. Remember when we had Martin Cove on, he said Sly Stallone became one of his best friends. So here we go back to back. Martin Cove as Nero the hero and Sly Stallone as Joe Machine Gun Viterbo.
And at the wheel, Ray Nero the hero Lottigan. Never has finished the Transcontinental, but three big wins in the provinces this season, plus a brand new beast, means Nero's not fiddling around.
Sit still, Cleopatra, and stop blocking me. My fans want to see me.
They've never seen a has-been before?
And you know, there's only one person who guns an engine like that. It's gotta be the roughest, tough guy of them all, Machine Gun Joe Viterbo! Here he comes, Machine Gun Joe, loved by thousands, hated by millions. Only living previous winner except for Frankenstein, highest lifetime score after Frankenstein, and he's certainly getting the welcome he deserves. Joe doesn't look too happy, but you just can't keep
so
those
stands up
Frankenstein
with a machine
fans down.
Love some bitches.
Frankenstein!
Give it to them, Joe.
What, Frankenstein? I'll give it, Frankenstein!
Just starts gunning him down with a machine gun.
Wow. A lot of death.
Yeah, a lot of death.
Death race, I guess.
2000. It's set in 2000, by the way.
I got Charles Bronson as Wild Bill Hickok, like I said, going through the nightmares, trying to strike gold in the West, thinking about that white buffalo. He rolls into Cheyenne and sees an old friend. And they see that, it's a hot place for Wild Bill to be.
You scramble brain son of a bitch, are you trying to commit suicide? You think the Sioux forgot how you shot the head off of Whistler, the peacemaker?
I'm money-bound, Pete. If you think a new handle and specs are going to hide you, you're snaffled. You're a
trick without a bull boat. You're clean out of friends.
That include you, Pete?
That's a hell of a thing to say to me.
Ooh. You better walk soft in Cheyenne. Tom Custer and a troop of his tosspots are in town on an Indian scout.
He's made brag he'll turn your lights out if he ever sees you again.
Well, I'll peel an eye. Guess I won't see you this side of again, Pete.
That won't wet my eyes none. So long, Mr. James Otis, and good luck.
It's not really James Otis.
There's any left.
It's Wild Bill Hickok, and he just goes and shoots a bunch of guys, one of which I think is Martin Cove. Who does not have a line in a the White Buffalo.
But he makes an appearance.
He does.
Okay.
And I was embarrassed to say I don't have him speaking. But he still...
Well, he was maybe on screen for 2.5 minutes in Death Race 2000.
Got me about 2 minutes and 10 seconds.
So here is an explanation from one of the studio hosts of the Transcontinental Road Race of the Death Race 2000, explaining how points are scored and what each individual kill is worth for any of the five teams.
As the cars roar into Pennsylvania, the cradle of liberty, it seems apparent that our citizens are staying off the streets, which may make scoring particularly difficult, even with this year's rule changes. To recap those revisions, women are still worth 10 points more than men in all age brackets. But teenagers now rack up 40 points, and toddlers under 12 now rate a big 70 points.
Whoa.
The big score, anyone, any sex, over 75 years old, has been upped to 100 points. As always, how fast you move determines how long you live.
It's awesome.
That's the best set of rules I've ever heard. Oh, you know, society's too violent now.
You're right.
Really? What about the 70s, man? Okay, Matt. Charles Bronson and his boy go after White Buffalo or the White Spike, and they encounter Crazy Horse. And there's a whole tribe of Indians trying to kill Crazy Horse. Charles Bronson steps in and kills them dudes. And Crazy Horse and Charles Bronson, they have an exchange.
Hello, White Eye. My heart is good. I thank you for helping me kill my enemies.
Friend, you are very brave. Come to my council.
It cannot be done. Father Sun climbs high, and it is far to the lodges of my people. But I will not forget you, White Eye.
This is a good movie.
Beautiful moment.
Kate has to watch this. It's about racial unity.
It's a good call.
Because you love guns?
All right, final clip. Marty Cove's other scene. He was in two. We already played the one when he's introduced. Here's two when he and his navigator are discussing how they can get their first score. And man, is it going to be a sweet score, only to find out it's sabotage. And the resistance is going to put an end to Nero the Hero.
Graveyard.
You're the navigator. That's your problem. You better think of something pretty soon or else you're going to be out in your ass.
It isn't my fault everyone scored before us. You should have gone after that Boy Scout camp like I told you.
I tried a goddamn Boy Scout camp. You know how fast those Boy Scouts move?
Now here's something for your speed. It's
going to be at least 200 points.
If they scatter, go for the baby and the mother.
They're scattering.
Go for the baby! The baby!
That's it. Come get baby.
Bye-bye, baby. Hello, 70 points.
And it was a prop.
Oh, no.
Dynamite, Nero the Hero, thinking he was going to kill a baby by running over it. Instead, he gone.
Not a real baby!
Nope.
Well, all right, Matt.
So disappointing.
That is. That's you know, but hey, what a great movie.
Right?
And I'll be on it. Vic saw it. Too bad for me. Crazy Horse and Bill Hickok do kill the White Buffalo, just like Jaws dies at the end.
Okay.
And
spoiler alert.
He does show up, and he's like huge. Yeah, spoiler alert. Jaws dies at the end of every Jaws, by the way. Bronson gives the hide to Crazy Horse to wrap around his daughter to avenge his daughter's death. And Crazy Horse figures out that that's not long hair. That's Wild Bill Hickok I've been rolling with.
Hookah, hey!
It's the best movie I've ever seen.
Why didn't you use your gun?
I am war chief of the Oglalas. I could not use the white man's iron. This bull had to be taken in the old way. Until I slew this bull in the old way, I could not wear my own name again.
You're Crazy Horse.
Oh, Pawhuska, my friend. Truly we have suckled at the same mother. Truly we are brothers born from the same belly.
Look at that mountain of meat, huh?
What do you think of that, brother?
I think I need to see the White Buffalo.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
All right, well, there's our film fight, and thank you. Comment on Twitter.
That's a good one. One of the better ones we've had.
Appreciate you.
Appreciate Martin Cove. Appreciate Tim Cates.
Martin Cove, Cara Dean, Chuck Bronson, in his celibate ways.
The guy that played Chief in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
We thank you all. We'll be back with more PMS on AM570 LA Sports. Your Dead and Alive guy, birthday of the day before UCLA and Mick Cronin take the court against the evil Bobby Hurley and his demons of the sun. Tonight, 7:32.
This hour of the Petros and Money Show podcast is sponsored by Blue Chew.
Yeah, Blue Chew.
It's nothing to be ashamed of,
no,
guys.
It's not.
Blue Chew brings you the same FDA-approved active ingredient as Viagra and Cialis. Now in a chewable form, the first ever to do it.
Yeah, it does. And you can even do it with a full stomach and still get the lead you need in your pencil.
Guys, don't be embarrassed. Don't be worried about going to the doctor. Blue Chew is prescribed online by licensed physicians, so you don't have to go to the doctor's office and be all embarrassed or wait in line at the pharmacy.
Yeah, get over yourself. Who cares? Like, you're the only one that wants to have a real pencil going, you know what I'm saying, brother? With all the lead necessary to do the job?
It ships right to your door in a discreet package. Right now, we got a special deal for the listeners. Visit BlueChew.com. That's BlueChew.com. And your first shipment is free when you use the special promo code PMS. Just pay $5 shipping.
To hell with being embarrassed. Scream it from the rooftops. I chew blue with Blue Chew.
BlueChew.com. Promo code PMS. Try it free.
The Petros and Money Show.
PMS.
Podcasted at AM570LASports.com.
Of wine and roses, laugh and run away like a child at play.
Just want to say, totally appreciate you being with us. Super cool. You guys are the best. Absolutely love it that you tune in every day. Don't ever think we take you for granted. Wake up every morning, I look at the sky, and I say to God, thank you for helping me garner an audience that I believe in and believes in me.
Thank you for listening, everybody. Petros and Money Show on AM570 LA Sports, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. We love you. Dan Patrick loves you. The Danettes, they start at 6 a.m.
I think they're better than you.
Colin Cowherd, 9 to noon.
He doesn't love you. He thinks he's better than you.
Well, he is.
Big Check boy. Out this cigar.
Big boy money.
Big boy money. Check out this hot tub.
Rogan
Park
and Rodney,
City.
When you're on Hallmark TV, you're happier than everybody else. It's science. They're looking down on you, but us,
science, huh?
We're right with you. Petros and Money. We're in the trenches.
We're in the gutter.
We're with you, brother.
Swimming in the silt. With
PMS.
You.
Great sports talk afternoon starting at
Great three. Sports talk.
What we want you to do is to podcast the show on the iHeartRadio app if you're not streaming it live. On the iHeartRadio app. So thank you so much for being part of what we do.
And then I went to CBS Sports Radio.
Wait a minute, are you blaming me?
It's totally his fault.
Okay.
He sabotaged my career.
Really don't
I was
do
doing
that
a
much,
great right? show.
You really
I was,
were.
I was doing unbelievable work at Fox. Everybody loved me in the green room. Me and GP were super tight.
That is true. Mick Cronin and UCLA, speaking of basketball in the Pac-12, taking on Arizona State tonight. Tip-off at 7:30 right here on AM570 LA Sports. Don't forget Tim Cates afterwards with Bruin Talk. But right now it is time for Three Things Thursday, everybody.
Roll it.
One, two, three.
This is Three Things Thursday.
And
TMS.
Thanks for listening.
Just want to say, I can't thank enough. You guys are the best.
Take time out. Be serious for
a second. I'm going to do two things real quick, and then we're going to get to the Rams-Seahawks preview.
Oh, I can't wait.
I know. One, why is it a story when the defensive rookie of the year, one of the most explosive pass rushers we see coming to the league, says, I want Tom Brady? I would assume that's what you want your defensive end to say. Tom Brady's got his ass. Well, he's got his ass. I think the way the players like to say it is, he got his ass got by a handful of really good defensive linemen, threw a bunch of picks in some games earlier this year.
Well, anybody that's out there playing football at any level, but especially that level, is apt to get got.
And exactly right.
It happens to everybody, but I can tell you, as a matter of fact, Matt, as I've said before on many occasions, and it's sad to hear the pearl clutching, but one of our goals as a team
is
to knock out the quarterback of the opposing team. Now,
I don't like the way that Chase Young spoke. How dare he?
But this is the quarterback of the opposing team. Am I wrong?
And my primary job, the reason why I was drafted number two overall, was to go get him.
Get after his ass.
I'm going to get a piece of him.
Yeah.
So when you're Bruce Arians and you're like, hey, be careful what you ask for.
Oh, God.
Well,
He's not Jesus, guys.
Is Chase Young going to find himself, what, one-on-one with Brady in the open field, and Brady's going to break his ankles and bust out a 20-yard run for a first down? Is that what Chase Young has to be careful of? Or is he going to find himself in coverage? And like on a double move, Brady's going to humiliate
burned.
Him.
He's going to get burned on the edge.
Is that what's going to happen?
Yeah, Gronk's going to do
like
it.
I don't think it really works that way. I mean, it certainly.
You know what? Hey, we might trap him with an offensive lineman. What?
Maybe you better be careful what you wish for.
I don't know.
What would you like him to say? Well, you know, I have an immense amount of respect for Tom Brady, and I certainly would not want to do anything to upset his game plan or his performance.
You want to get after his ass.
Exactly.
It's football. I mean,
Tom Brady, when they tried to drag him into the fray, he's like, what do you want him to say? I would assume he's coming after me. I'm going to be going after him. That's what we do.
You know, you're coming after me. I'm coming after you. I know how it is.
I appreciate it. I appreciate you. All right, there's the two. Now we can get to the preview. Saturday, 1:40 p.m.
That was two things?
Yeah.
Those two guys?
Exactly. It was the headline. It's the number one freaking story.
I thought it was stupid.
What the F is this?
I thought it was dumb. But, you know, more and more ever since the Jonathan Martin versus Richie Incognito.
That got a little ugly.
Face-to-face. People are just not comfortable with how football players really are. And I've long figured that out, but it's become more and more glaring. And when a defensive end says, yeah, I want Tom Brady's ass.
Get it.
And I don't see.
Oh, no.
Yeah, God.
Are you sure you want to say
that?
Yeah,
Bruce All Smith right. would I never mean, say that no. about Troy Aikman. No, God.
No, gosh, no.
He'd fall over drunk.
1:40 p.m., Seattle. Wow.
Well, he did.
Hello.
Or Trev Alberts was trying to interview him.
Now, you apologize to him?
I mean, no.
Nope.
It's not.
This is the.
It's not like there's not a tape of it.
Per Rick Monday, rubber game, not the
rubber match.
Rubber match.
Yeah, that's wrong.
Rams knocked him off 23-16 in L.A. Week 10. Seahawks got him back 20-9 in Seattle Week 16. Each team won their home game. Sean McVay, since he took over the Rams, has been as good as any team against the Seahawks. 5-3 versus Pete Carroll. 3-1 in Los Angeles. 2-2 up in the Pacific Northwest. In the last 10 years, we had 5 matchups between divisional opponents in the wild card round. Interesting, the lower seed has the better record. 3 wins to 2 losses, the most recent being the 2018 Colts going to Houston and knocking off the Texans 21-7. Pete Carroll has played one playoff game against a divisional opponent. You may remember it. It made national headlines when they defeated the 49ers 23-17 in the championship game of 2013, you may remember that as the Richard Sherman, Michael Crabtree end zone.
I remember, yes.
Altercation and a wildly entertaining and enthusiastic post-game interview with Aaron Andrews and Richard Sherman.
He's talking bad about you. Crabtree!
That was actual sound. We just pulled it out. Oh my God, it's talking about OJ.
It said anything bad about OJ. Crabtree!
Well, he doesn't look it. And I know that's something you always like to point out. But that youthful exuberance of Pete Carroll, who is either sniffing 70 or is north of 70.
He's north of 70.
I think he is north of 70. This is the largest age difference between opposing playoff coaches in NFL history. Pete Carroll is 34 years and 131 days older than Sean McVay. Number one story. Believe it or not, it's not how old Pete is and how young Sean is. That is not the number one. The number one is which quarterback is going to get the start for the Rams, or what and what might Sean McVay do when it comes to the quarterback position. Ron Rivera for the Washington football team has suggested he may play them both, Taylor Heinicke and Alex Smith, as a combo platter against the Tampa Bay
Buccaneers.
His two quarterbacks.
Maybe McVay will run Goff out there on third down and 20 so the D can really pin their ears back and destroy and
try to break them in half. Goff suffered a thumb injury week 16 versus Seattle.
Alert screen!
In what was close to his worst game of the year. No touchdowns, one interception, passer rating of 61. Post-game surgery stabilized his thumb, and by all accounts, Goff wants to go. He is pining to play.
Is he pissed off?
He's got toughness to the nines. Makes all the sense in the world that today, McVay was not that forthcoming when asked which quarterback will start the game. Force the Seahawks to plan for both. Have to dedicate practice time preparing for both. They're very different quarterbacks. As we said earlier this week, John Wolford rushed for more yards in his first ever NFL start than Jared Goff ever has.
And that takes up their time, man. Because you got to worry about
it
those.
It takes up their time, man.
The zone reads and all the different things that you can do with that guy. Plus, you don't really care if that guy gets his head knocked clean into next year. Because
he'll just get another backup for next year.
He'll be a backup somewhere else or playing in Europe or coaching in Italy next year.
Or you just use his head as a reminder to how violent this game can be if you're not careful.
They'll do both.
Right?
But it still takes up their time, man.
It takes up their time, man.
Wolford was the first NFL player in NFL history with 200-plus pass yards and 50-plus rush yards in his NFL debut.
McVay loves Wolford because he is an opportunity to display how great and brilliant of a coach McVay is.
That's the truth.
That little boy right there can get anybody. Anybody ready for a football game.
Did you see what I did out there with Wolford? I was like coaching with one hand. It was like playing with one hand tied behind your back is what I was doing as a coach.
Even a guy from the Alliance who takes up your time, man. Like Tebow and the special teams.
It takes up their time, man.
We had Steve Weichon 2 days ago asked about Wolford versus Goff in a playoff game, and he scoffed at that idea of what would be the better option if Jared Goff is, in fact, healthy and good to go.
Well, they just want, like, it's a front office thing.
Sure.
You know, I mean, it's just like the Philadelphia thing.
Kevin Demoff don't want no Jared Goff as a healthy scratch.
No, you can't do that. It embarrasses your bosses.
And he did point out, Weich did when he joined us, you know, he didn't even score a touchdown. Yeah, defense got a pick six. And, well, he did drive him 80 yards to a first and goal from the one before Cam Akers fumbled the ball.
Hey!
So
he was a bad exchange.
Thanks to the folks over at the NFL Network with some next-gen stats that I can share here. I know you always like those, P. Wolford was in the shotgun 69% of those offensive plays. That was the second most in a Rams game since McVay became head coach. His air yards per attempt, 10.2 compared to Goff's 6.5 on the season, one of the lowest numbers in the NFL. His percentage of deep pass attempts, 24% of his passes were deep. Jared Goff, 7%.
Well, they ran the ball a lot less, so they were throwing the ball downfield. I mean, they threw the ball
down the field.
But they threw it less, so they were running more. He was running it, so when they did throw it, they were play-action plays down the field, mostly to Higbee. So that makes sense, you know, but there's a reason that that happened. Like Weich was saying, does that happen in a second game after people have seen some tape and Pete Carroll, who's known to be a pretty good defensive guy, gets his hands on your neck? I'm not sure.
You know what I am sure about? How Wolford performed when the stakes were at their highest. At Wake Forest in his bowl games. For those that weren't paying attention.
Really? they take on in the bowl games, man.
Paying attention in the Belk Bowl in 2017.
That's a hell of a website.
Wolford, Wake Forest, knocked off Texas A&M, and he did it en route to bowl MVP with 400 yards passing, four touchdowns, and rushing for 68 yards, and a 55-52 win for the Demon Deeks over Texas A&M. Man, that's big time.
Yeah.
It is, in fact, Wolford, if he makes the start. That would be the sixth quarterback in the Super Bowl era to make his first or second career start in a playoff game. The most recent did not go well. 2016, Connor Cook in place of the broken-legged Derek Carr.
Oh, I remember Big C, double C came out there.
Did not go well.
Yeah, that was unfortunate. But, you know, sometimes your backup's ready to rock with a porn stash and it's Hostetler.
Well,
and he takes you through the Super Bowl.
So how about this? We have two other occasions when an L.A. team had a quarterback making his first or second start in a playoff game. 1991, Todd Marinovich.
Yes, I remember that.
Lost a wild card game, 10-6 with the L.A. Raiders. And go back to 1975.
Marinovich lit the town on fire with his fiery hair. People loved it.
Ron Jaworski lit the town on fire with his fiery mustache for the Rams when he got a victory
in
the divisional round.
Late in the Jaworski days, yes.
1975.
Kind of like the Montana days in Kansas City.
Old Jaws doing it for the Rams in his second ever start of his NFL career with the Rams.
It's interesting without Goff. I wish it wasn't for Goff's sake. Because he's a number one pick, and they've...
And a $118 million guaranteed money guy.
That's the thing. Number one pick, okay, look at...
But now...
Now you paid him again.
He ain't going anywhere.
And you paid him again.
And he says he wants to go.
And there even is a subject out there that people are like, well, how about the other guy? Looked okay. Like, that's not a good sign.
It's not ideal.
It's not a good sign for Jared Goff.
Probably not ideal going into a playoff game. However, we do remember how important Cooper Kupp was supposed to be to their Super Bowl run. And with him not being there, perhaps that's why they lost the Super Bowl. Cooper Kupp has not been around.
Yeah. Because I heard that argument made a lot.
Yes. So, now that he has been activated from the COVID list, maybe it could go a long way to Jared Goff's success if, in fact, that thumb is feeling a heck of a lot better and he can get out there as his number one third down receiver, his number one yards after catch receiver, and the guy that's leading the team in receiving yardage. The Rams will not have Daryl Henderson. Of course, he was put on the IR a couple weeks ago, so it'll be a Cam Akers if he's still healthy, and Malcolm Brown out there. You mentioned this yesterday when we brought up the defense, or maybe it was a couple days ago with Brandon Staley, and what his job is like as a defensive coordinator when you have arguably, not even arguably, you have the best defensive player in the league on your defensive line and the best corner in the secondary. Jalen Ramsey locked up DK Metcalf in their first matchup. Pete Carroll and the Seahawks were able to get a little creative in their second matchup, move him around, so he only covered DK on two pass plays, and he was able to pile up 90 yards and eight catches in that second matchup in which the Seahawks won. How about this? Jalen Ramsey this season in coverage is allowing less than 20 yards per game to receivers that he covers. So Jalen, in his Zoom media call today, mentioned...
Did he stay for the whole thing?
No, he left a couple times. They had to bring him back. You know, he mentioned that he has let it be known that he would prefer the adjustments be made, that if DK is moving all around, he doesn't stay where he is, that he moves with DK.
He wants to walk with him.
That's what his request is. The...
You sending him with anybody, coach? That's I love doing that because it always makes the D coordinators uncomfortable. If they have like some great receiver on the other team and you're like, so, you know, who's your best cover guy these days? Well, it's probably Kiki. You going to walk him with Wallace? Well, you know what? I guess I got you. God, they start to, you know what? Well, you know, we're going to mix it up. You know what?
Mix it up, huh?
And then it's like, well, looks like they're walking with him.
Brandon Staley's defense has the most sacks in the NFL. Aaron Donald has 13.5, Leonard Floyd 10.5. One of two teams with double-digit sacks for two different players. DK Metcalf, Jalen Ramsey, Aaron Donald, Leonard Floyd versus that offensive line will be the Rams' defensive story. The Seattle story will likely be Pete Carroll's remaking of this defense over the last six games. They are now top three in points in total defense since week 12, allowing just 14 per, under 300 total yards per game. They had the worst pass defense and pass rush in the league going into week 10. They are now second only to the Rams in sacks since week 10. It is actually borderline ridiculous that this team has turned around this much in the same season, from being 100 yards worse than any other team on defense to one of the three best defenses in the league in a bunch of different metrics. The difference has been the health of Jamal Adams. If the Rams win, they'll face the Green Bay Packers and Lambeau likely, unless the Bears can manage to upset the Saints, as with the new format, Green Bay will play the lowest seeded team. And I would imagine if they are able to do that, well, it's probably because of that defense.
All right, there's your Three Things Thursday. I hope you're ready for Rams Seahawks.
1:40 on Saturday. I'm excited.
Yeah, we all are.
I mean, man.
Who's it going to be?
Man, wow, man, freaked out.
We'll be right back with more PMS on AM570 LA Sport.
No one knows what it's like to be hated.
Petros and Money. Available on the free iHeartRadio app. Now.
If I don't believe me now, swallow. Yo, Vendetta, living it, we're living it, we're living it, I'm living it.
Petros and Money, AM 570, LA Sports Live, everywhere on the iHeart Radio app. Still to come, quick hit, if you missed it, James Worthy from earlier in the show talking Laker basketball and a celebration of music in your dead and alive guy birthday of the day.
All right, we still have to honor Chevy. I mean, we've honored Big Game James, but what about Chevrolet?
The secret text us a line.
Sold out to Chevy.
So today is another day where we catch up with my phone. The secret text also line. You know, it is true. Today I was driving and I was on Palos Verdes Drive and Western, you know, right there in the mouth of San Pedro and Harbor City there, right by the Taco Bell and the Kentucky Fried Chicken. I was at the stoplight and I got a text and it said, look to your left. And I looked over there and it was a listener named Wayne in his work van with big, like, coconut heads hanging off of his rear view. He's like, I've been listening since the Korean Station days. I love you and Money. It's me, Wayne.
It's pretty cool.
And I was like, I love you, Wayne.
Look to your left.
Yeah, it was look to your left. And I was like, I'm going to look right into a bullet. Like, that is, I'm going to look right like bullet. Mo Green. I'm just going to just wear it right into my shooting glasses because I was wearing them.
And those can't stop bullets?
I don't think so. I don't know.
Can we try it?
Maybe Wayne could give it a try. Sure, Matt, I'll stand right over there. Here's another question on the textoso, other than the one that says, look to your left.
Look to your left.
That's more of a command. How distracted has Matt been crafting his PowerPoint presentation to show Spanos can be the to show Spanos that he can be the head coach? If Rojas can, Matt must. That is true, Matt. A precedent has been set.
If you think I'm
and you
just
know,
a
I know you fancy yourself. You know, I mean, you'd like to analyze some football here and there. You like you like to throw in your opinion about this guy or that guy.
What's important, and it's something that you can certainly speak to. I would put you down as a reference, obviously.
You'd have to.
You got to command.
I might have to go with you.
You got to command that locker room.
Yeah.
And I would imagine standing in front of a group of between 53 and 65 men on any given occasion, I can really command their respect, attention. And lead them into battle. They would follow me.
Your build doesn't seem very different from Joe Gibbs. You'd be fine.
I guess I could just lie about my background. Now listen, guys.
Look, Jed Fish was a tennis coach.
Right? He may not look like much. But when I was a slot receiver for Purdue back in the late 80s, man, that was some physical football.
I knew a guy there. He didn't know about you.
You sure? What's your name? Tom Waddle.
I run into that all the time where somebody's like, hey, you played with my boy at SC. He said he played with you. I was like, well, what year? Well, he was there in like 97. Oh, for real? What's his name? Oh, so-and-so. Yeah, that guy's a liar.
I never heard of that dude.
Yeah, there are a lot of liars out there, but mostly they're guys that said they were going to play college baseball.
Man, I remember a day when you could lie about your college accomplishments and get away with it. All week.
And they were all college baseball guys, you know, because you could look like, but you can't really. I mean, at USC had not taken a walk-on in literally like 30 years on the baseball field when I got there. And every guy,
SAE.
Well, every white guy, because you could just be a normal looking white guy and still convince people that you were a great baseball player. So I've heard the story like three or four different ways from three or four different people. It's like they all won state. They all broke their wrist making a catch. And because they broke their wrist making a catch to win state, they weren't able to show up for the tryouts that Gillespie, the USC coach, really wanted him to show up.
But
I, you know, I was pledging. And, you know, it's just, you know, one
stuff
thing.
Got in the, you know what got in the way?
Life.
Got in the way. Funny thing is, one of my dorm mates, Matt Miller, we encouraged him to walk on to the Pepperdine baseball team because he was telling us the story. He's like, yeah, dude, I, you know, we won state. I was the MVP. And I'm like, dude, you should just go walk on. He walked on and won a college World Series as a middle reliever for the Pepperdine Waves.
Yeah, they didn't take a lot of walk-ons at USC at that time. Just ordered my first ever gong from Gongs Unlimited.
Oh, gong it out.
Vic would be proud. Not ready to try Blue Chew, though.
Baby steps. You know, chew that Blue Chew. You'll see what happens. And then you're really going to gong it out. Then your gong is going to be like...
BlueChew.com, promo code PMS. You know that Jedediah traded fur. He traded that fur all night long, if you know what I'm saying. Yeah, yes. Chew it and do it.
Yes, he did.
So there's a Jedediah. A
lot of bastards strewn about the western half of the United States.
From Jedediah Smith.
From Jedediah Smith.
That was yesterday's dead guy. We still have the dead and alive to come in about an hour. The Petros and Money Show continues right here on AM 570 LA Sports, your home of the Dodgers. And walk-on SAEs.